Hi, this is Robin Bell, Director of Instrumental Studies at the State College of Florida, and this is the Suncoast Culture Club podcast. Welcome to the club.
Did I abuse her or show her disdain? Why does she run from me? If I should lose her, how shall I regain the heart she has won from me? Agony beyond power of speech. When the one thing you want is the only thing out of your reach. High in her tower, she sits by the hour, maintaining her hair, blithe and becoming, and frequently humming a light-hearted air. Ah, agony far more painful than yours. When you know she would go with you if there only were doors. Agony, oh, the torture they teach. What's as intriguing or half so fatiguing as what's out of reach?
The Suncoast Culture Club podcast is your weekly dose of what's happening in the performing and visual arts on Florida's Suncoast, including interviews, reviews, discussions, behind-the-scene tidbits, and insider trading. Join State College of Florida arts faculty as they bring you all of the arts happenings on the Suncoast, from music to dance to art to theater. Come along and join the club. It is always very exciting when a new theater company springs up, and in this case, a theater company that is actually expanding from children productions to adult productions. And I have asked director Jessica Babcock of Jump Encore to join us today to tell us all about herself, the expanding theater company, and their upcoming production of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, showing November 11 through 14 at 7 p.m. at Hunsader Farms. So, Jessica Babcock, welcome to the club.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure meeting you the last couple of minutes.
I know.
I see your extensive resume and how much you've done here, and I'm thinking to myself, how come we've never met before?
I know. I've been very busy. I keep myself very busy.
Not me. I just sit around, you know, it's bonbons and butterflies by the pools.
I wish.
Yeah. Well, let's start with you, Jessica. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the musical theater world here in the Bradenton and Sarasota area.
Absolutely. So I'm originally from upstate New York, born and raised. I moved here in 2013. But when I was up there, my mom is the one that got me into musical theater. She was a dance teacher most of her life, and she started to choreograph local productions up there. Yeah. And then eventually she opened up her own children's theater company in Albany.
Yeah. So, you were kind of made to do this.
Exactly. I was thrown into it since as long as I can remember. The first show I did was Annie when I was 5, and I played Tessie.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been nonstop ever since then.
You know, you think about when somebody says, oh, I'm a dancer, I'm a dance teacher, and I have visions that go in my head of, you know, in a ballet studio and stuff.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, if you're a choreographer, there's a lot of work in these musicals. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It is a big part of what these musicals are, is
absolutely
the movement and the dance part of it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I started teaching dance I started assisting first on my mom's classes and things like that. And then back in New York, I started to teach a little bit. And then once I moved here in 2013, I started teaching full time.
And what brought your family here in 2013?
Yeah. So a little sad story. My dad passed away in 2009.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. So we always love to go to Disney World as a family every year. And we needed kind of a change of pace in life. We were constantly in New York City all the time, as much as we loved it. We loved coming to Florida and going to the beach, and we wanted to move to an artsy town, and we had never been here before.
Well, you picked a good artsy town.
I know. My teacher back in New York, her sister was a realtor here, and she suggested it and told us about Booker High School, which is where I ended up graduating from.
All right, yeah.
As part of the VPA program, and so we moved here sight unseen. We toured a house through FaceTime, and we just did it.
Packed it up.
Exactly.
So it was you and your mom. You have a sister?
I have a sister, yep. So okay. We moved down here first, and then my grandma and my grandpa moved down here a few years later after that.
Really? So the whole family's here now?
Pretty much, yeah.
And how old were you when you moved here?
I was a junior in high school.
Okay, so excellent that you got into the VPA, the Visual Performing Arts Program at Booker High School.
Yes.
You were in some productions there?
I was. I was in Midsummer's Night's Dream. I was in Our Town. Yeah. Scott Keyes wrote an original production called Ghostlight, which we did. And then I assistant directed our last production of Hairspray in my senior year.
Very nice. And, you know, a great loss on Scott Keyes' retirement.
Absolutely. I actually just ran into him on Monday, and it was great to see him.
Yeah.
He's directing falsettos at the Players
Theater.
The Players Theater,
down in Venice. I knew he wouldn't stop, you know, after retiring from the VPA program, but you don't have to be at school at 7 o'clock every morning now.
Yeah. So. No, he's doing great. It was so nice to see him. So
yeah, that's great. And so at some point, you graduate from Booker High School, mm-hmm. and where do you go next?
So I started some college classes at USF for elementary education. I'm really good with kids.
Okay, good.
Kids are a huge part of my life. Went through some medical things and took a little break. And that's when I really started to focus full time on teaching dance and things like that.
You know, a medical scare can make us go, what's important to me, and where am I going to put all my time and energy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started teaching dance more full time. When we first moved down here, my mother was hired to lead the Jump Encore production company at Jump Dance Company. So she took over the program and kind of redid it a little bit, reimagined it. And so that's what she started to do when she first moved here.
Well, let's talk about this Jump Encore then, because it's located in Lakewood Ranch and it started as a children's dance studio.
Yeah. So Jump Dance Company has been around for 16 years now. We're in our 16th season. Carrie Minot is the owner, and the Minot and Bowman family. They are wonderful. So they opened the company, and then Jump Encore was developed a little bit later after that.
About 8 years into it, I think, because it's been where they took this concept, and I love this, right? We're a dance school, but now we're going to let you produce musicals, like children's musicals, right?
Yeah, so we have over 500 students at our dance studio.
You know what? That was one of my questions. How many people are involved?
Yes.
500 children.
We are one of the biggest dance studios in the area. So we have lots of kids who have different interests. So we offer voice lessons, we have our normal dance classes, we have our theater company now, and lots of other programs. So we have been expanding as much as we can throughout the years, which is awesome.
And you probably have a real mix of students that are in public schools, students in private schools, maybe some homeschool students.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we do offer privates like during the daytime and things like that. We have morning classes to offer the flexibility of all schedules.
And I know it's in Lakewood Ranch, but where exactly is it?
Yeah, so we're right off of 64 in Lakewood Ranch Boulevard.
Okay, in that little strip mall?
We have our own freestanding building, but because we are so large, we had to grow a little bit. So we have two additional studios in the strip mall behind us.
It's a good problem to have.
Exactly, and we're looking to expand again.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's just never enough room.
No, so we have those two additional studios, but with the way that the theater company is expanding, we are looking to possibly purchase our own space for the theater company.
Yeah, people don't realize, I think, when you're really designing a musical and in production, you have to have a large space to recreate what our stage will be like, and the blocking, which is where people are standing and moving, and the dancing. You can't dance in a little classroom.
Which is kind of what we're doing right now. So because we have so many classes going on, our normal theater company for our kids rehearses once a week. It's a very different kind of schedule for our kids, which allows them to do lots of extracurricular activities because they only commit to us once a week. So they do like an hour and a half class, and they rehearse from August to May. So it's easier to block out a studio for them once a week. With the adult company, we run like on a full professional program where we have to rehearse multiple times a week. So it's hard to block out a studio space for us when we're there every single night. So we've been rehearsing in our preschool space right now because there's no classes at night, which has been fine. It's great. And then we move into a studio when it's available, but it's a little bit of a tight quarter. So
sure,
this has definitely kind of been the initiative to find a new space.
And let me ask you, because you started with the children's productions,
yes.
and how many shows a season would you produce?
Two, normally.
Okay.
Yep. So they run at the same time. So we do like a junior production, which goes up to 18-year-olds. And then we do a kids production, which normally ends with like 7th and 8th graders. And so the junior production rehearses on Mondays, and then the kids production is on Thursdays.
Got it.
Yeah.
And this is a neat concept because they're taking vocal lessons, they're taking dance lessons, and then they can come to you for that evening once a week rehearsal where they're putting those skills together in an actual event, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's a great educational outgrowth of their lessons, you know, and what they're getting to do. Really, really cool. So then you've been doing this for 8 years with the children. Mm-hmm. Now you've decided to expand to an adult professional more company. What was the impetus for that?
So, like I said, I have a really amazing boss who allows us to kind of do what our heart is feeling and lets us explore new things on a trial basis. And I talked to her for a while about potentially expanding the program a little bit. And I finally had this dream, I guess, to really put it into action a couple months ago. I've had a lot of life changes going on this year. And
haven't we all post-pandemic? I mean, life doesn't look anything like it did 18 months ago.
Lots of crazy things happening this year. But in the end, it all worked out for the best.
And I'm sure your boss, like every other boss, as long as I don't lose money.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And musicals are sort of notorious for losing money, just like, you know, athletic programs at small schools like us. It's not like a thousand billion people come to our basketball games and stuff. And so it's the same here. We put on a musical. It costs a lot of money to do.
Yes, it does.
You hope to recoup your money and ticket sales. It's not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed.
So, you know, it is an investment for the community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. With this show, we want to break even at least on this one. We have made a lot of investments now. We want this to be a long-term thing. We have purchased our own lighting system.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's incredible. And we purchased a lot of costumes and had a really large donation of costumes from the Oslo, which is amazing.
They're so helpful.
They are so helpful.
Yeah. And you know, they run out of space too. They got a purge. I'll take it.
I know. Yeah. So we went to the costume sale and their costume shop manager, David, was incredible. And we have a whole lot of the most incredible costumes now. And we are so thankful to them.
But let's talk about the need for storage when you have a musical theater company.
Yes.
You have costumes and set pieces and props. And
you should see my mom's garage.
Oh, bless her soul.
It's incredible.
I hope it's air conditioned.
We constantly rearrange and bring things in. They're all stored nicely in totes and everything like that. We do have two storage units on top of that for all set pieces and stuff like that. And then we just built closets in the studio, which is now housing all of our lighting equipment. We're running out of space.
I'm going to tell you, if you're just a patron and you just go see a show, that is one of the things that maybe you don't understand is the amount of space you need for rehearsal and the orchestra to rehearse, the singers, the dancers, the actors. But then you have all of these set pieces, these props, these costumes. Yeah. They have to go somewhere.
They just don't get thrown away at the end. You got to store them somewhere because you might use them again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Every little piece of wood here at the State College of Florida gets filed away. I mean, we might use that 2x4 in 3 years. You better keep it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It can be a hoarding situation.
Yes. Yes. Well, here's the good thing about our show with Into the Woods right now. We are doing a very stripped down production of Into the Woods.
Well, I was going to ask about this because I read that on your website. And I want to say that when I was in college, I played trumpet in the pit orchestra of that production of Into the Woods. We've also actually done the show here at the State College of Florida. And what I remember is it ain't easy.
No.
Like the show and the music is really hard. It's huge. I was the trumpet player, so I always had that and I had to play it in every key. And it was like this thematic thing.
Yes, it is.
Matter of fact, I went to the cast party at the end and I walked in, they go, "Who are you?" Because they never know anybody in the pit orchestra. I said, "I play the trumpet," and they all started singing my little theme, you know.
Fanfare.
Yeah, my little fanfare. So the music's hard, the singing's hard, the acting is hard, the costuming is hard, the set pieces are hard. But putting your team of people together, you've managed to make this production a little more manageable, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we are doing a very stripped down production. We are relying a lot on the space that we are doing our show in at Hunsaters. And so basically everything that we are using in the show, you could find in a cabin in the woods.
Which is really what the show's about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's found objects. Objects are used multiple times in multiple different ways. We have a stripped down cast to 11, which is normally 25 plus people in the show.
So people are playing multiple roles?
Multiple roles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a tough job.
Back and forth. Like our stepmother, bless her, is going back and forth between stepmother to Jack's mom to granny to this and that. And it's within 2-line differences.
Well, maybe we should pause here and explain to our listeners that maybe you don't know the story of Into the Woods, the Stephen Sondheim musical. So, Jessica, tell us sort of the plot line real quick.
Of course. Oh, gosh. It's a long one. Let's do a real fast.
Stripped down version.
Exactly. So you have lots of different fairy tales kind of all thrown together into one story. You've got Cinderella and her prince. You've got Rapunzel and her prince. You have Little Red, Jack and the Beanstalk, the baker and the baker's wife.
He interweaves all those stories into one.
Exactly. Yeah. It's incredible how he does it.
Smart.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And so everyone is kind of on their own journey to get their wish. And we go through everyone's story and how it is that they go to get that wish and all the different things that it takes and the sacrifices mm-hmm. to get those things. And
what are you willing to sacrifice to get what you want?
To get what you want. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a really great story for anyone to go see and relate to mm-hmm. because it's really heartfelt. I don't want to give like too much away.
Are you doing it in two acts?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's an intermission.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk.
It's a long show. So you got it.
It is a very long show. When you said strip down, I was wondering, are you taking out some scenes or you're just mostly stripping down the characters?
With the licensing, you can't
sure.
Cut anything out of it or else you will get in trouble. And we do not need that. And so we have kept pretty much everything in the show. It's stripped down where like a stepmother to Jack's mom will change her hat
okay.
or she will throw on a shawl or something like
that.
That
would normally be two different people. And in
exactly.
this production, it's one person.
Yep. And then Milky White. We are not doing Milky White like normal.
Milky White's the cow.
It's the cow. And so let's just say Milky White has a great personality in this show. Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
That's what we mean by stripped down. We don't have a full set. Like I said, we're relying on our space around us and the few objects that we have. So we don't have those traditional giant storybooks around the stage and things like that. Lots of trees to go in and out of, levels on the stage. It's very interesting.
And Hunsader Farms has an outdoor staging area,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So I went out there a couple months ago to their U-Pick for their flowers and
yes,
things like that.
Yeah.
I had never been out there before. I live right near it. And we were walking into one of the market things and I saw this stage just sitting there. And I was like, this is gorgeous with all the trees around. They have benches all lined up and everything. The stage is huge. And it has this beautiful cabin looking back to it. And immediately, as soon as I saw it, I started thinking, what can I do with this space? Didn't have permission, hadn't talked to anyone.
Right.
But I was so inspired by it. And I started to think, what shows can I do? I debated between like Tuck Everlasting and other outdoor shows. And Into the Woods is one of my favorite shows that I've ever done.
You went for it all here on the first
yes,
production.
I
Good
did.
For you. It's a tough one.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. I was immediately blessed with an amazing cast that I had thought of. We didn't audition for this production. I reached out to pretty much everyone that's involved mm-hmm. because it was our first production. It's kind of hard to just reach out and be like, hey, this is a new theater company, come audition. You know, people don't really trust it yet.
Right.
So we wanted to make sure that we were putting on the best production possible.
Well, I was looking on your website. You're pretty much all-star cast and crew. Yeah,
yeah.
And behind the scenes folks. So tell us who all is in this production performing and then who's making the magic happen from the production end of it.
Okay. All right. So cast-wise, we have Danae Shazer. She's playing the baker's wife and her partner, Derek Brookins, who's playing the baker. They just returned to town from traveling around and doing some theater in like the Midwest area and stuff like that.
Okay.
They are incredible. And we are so lucky to have them. And then we have Melanie Bierweiler and her fiance, Todd Maddox, and they're playing Cinderella and Cinderella's Prince. They're coming all the way up from, I think it's Palm Harbor.
Wow.
Yeah, they're traveling quite far for the show. And then we have Kelly Leisler, who's playing the witch. Kelly he's a man.
Yes.
So it's a very different take on our witch, but he is incredible. And everyone's going to love
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
You normally see the witch, you know,
yeah,
and the beans, nothing but, you know, the wrapping stuff. It might work really well with a guy witch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been done before. Kelly was the first person I asked to be a part of the show before okay. I even had a production team. And I reached out to Kelly because for years I've known that Kelly would make an amazing witch.
Okay.
It was just coming into play. And the first person I messaged was Kelly. And immediately he was like, yes. Yeah, it was great. And then we have Ashley Figlow and she's playing Rapunzel. And then Tanner Foltz is playing Rapunzel's prince.
Now, Rapunzel, obviously, she's up in a high tower.
Yes.
It's the Rapunzel, let down your hair.
Yeah.
So I'm interested how you're doing. And I want to go back to the characters,
no,
but
good.
How then with that limited space?
Yeah.
You have a little tower you've built or something?
Yeah. So,
okay, cool.
Well, kind of. We have with the, all those trees around the space. We're using one of the trees, and then we have a big ladder, which will lean upon the tree, and like an A-frame ladder. And then Rapunzel will climb up to the top. And
she's there, she got is.
Her long hair, which isn't hair, so that's going to be a fun thing.
Yeah.
had a little experiment with that. Got to make it creative, you know?
Yes.
Those found objects. And so, yeah, that's the tower. It looks gorgeous out in the space.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
All right. Who else we got? Sorry.
Right, so I went to
I get up on tangents.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good. So we'd have Danielle Snelling. She's the one that's playing Jack's mom and the stepmother. She is incredible going back and forth. I don't know how she does it. I am in the show as well as directing it.
Excellent. That's not easy.
No, it's not. And I'm playing Little Red, but it's been a lot of fun. Oh. And then we have Josh Devine. He is a senior MSA. He is playing Jack. He's played the role before, and he is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Really great, though, to incorporate some of our local young talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you.
Yeah, no, Josh is amazing. The wolf is also played by Todd, who is Cinderella's prince.
Okay.
So that's one of those double up situations. Mm-hmm. And then we have Chris Caswell. He is coming and playing the narrator and the mysterious man. He has also played the role before. A lot of the people in our show have been in the show before and have played their roles before, which has been really nice.
Mm-hmm. And that wraps up a really nice cast. And then you have like you said, you are co-directing.
I
so am. Who's your other half
so
of that?
Corey Boyes is my co-director. We worked together on Nonsense at Manatee Performing Arts Center in January.
Huge resume Corey has.
Yes, he does. He's incredible. And I knew that he was a perfect fit for this, as he has a very creative imagination, and he would help bring this new vision to the show alive. So he was also one of the first people I texted. I was like, I need you. But my sister had worked with him years prior with different shows, and I had always wanted to work with him. And after I did Nonsense with him, it was a instant connection. I was like, yes.
Good.
We were on the same page.
Yeah. And to find all these people available, you know, with busy schedules and stuff with the production schedule.
Absolutely.
You're lucky girl there.
Yes. Corey just finished directing Title of Show at the Players in Sarasota. And then as soon as he was done with that, he came over to us.
And so you also have some sound designers, lighting designers.
Yeah. So our stage manager, Alicia Tyler Lore, she is an incredible stage manager.
They make a big difference, don't they?
Yes, they do. She is a lifesaver. I love her. We have gotten so close throughout this process, and I am so lucky to have her. And her husband, Ethan Vale, who works at the Oslo, he is our lighting designer.
And he's got this brand new lighting rig.
Yes, he does. He's the one that helped me order everything. He's been a huge help as well.
It's like a kid in a toy store.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's been very excited. And it's been exciting for me, too, because I'm learning so many different things. While I was raised into the theater, I saw the directing side of things, the choreographer side of things. And I've stage managed a few things before. I'm now learning lighting. I'm learning sound aspects and things like that. I'm getting a very well-rounded education throughout this process, which has been really exciting for me as well. And I'm so excited to be able to learn how to do these things, and it'll help me in the future.
And it's really good. Your show start time is 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And so that's going to, it's a nighttime show because that's about the time that the sun is,
It's been setting, getting pretty dark around 6:30 recently.
Right. Now, there's a time change on November 7th.
Exactly, which is exactly why we chose the weekend that we did.
Good.
So that it's even darker.
And so that's going to be nice for the lighting.
Yes.
It's an outdoor venue, as we said. Mm-hmm. So how are you going about the sound, the amplifications?
Yeah, so Alicia and Ethan made an investment and purchased their own sound system as well.
Wow.
So we have a whole brand new sound system as well that we are using. We're the first people to do it. And then Alicia and we have some other people coming in to help with the sound aspect of everything.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, being someone that sat in the pit orchestra, I know kind of the book here, but you have a scaled down version of that as well. How's that going?
So we have an amazing music director, Emily Kroom. So she is actually just finishing up Mamma Mia at Manatee as well.
Yeah.
She's been pulling double duty on this one. She is our music director. And she has taught us so well. She's a lifesaver. And she has compiled.
So she's playing keyboards.
Uh-huh. Yep. So she is music director, and she'll also be leading the band on the piano. And then we have drums, and then we also have a cello. They have a huge band rehearsal on Saturday. So.
Now, you said that Hunsader Farms is where you're hosting it. Tell me, how did that collaboration come together?
Yeah, so after I thought of the space and what I wanted to do, I sent an email to Kim, who is one of the owners of the farm.
And let me just interrupt you here, because the grandson, Alex Hunsader, is a friend of State College of Florida and my pops orchestra. So he came through here in our music program. He played violin.
I did not know that.
In an orchestra. And then when he graduated, graduated, he, as we often say, graduated to the Pops Orchestra. So okay. he plays violin for my pops. Now, he temporarily had moved to Nashville for a little while through the pandemic, but he has moved back and we're glad to have him. So the Hunsaters come to all of my pops concerts and stuff.
And I did not know that.
Yeah. They're a great family, and that's such a neat place out there.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was my first time out there a couple months ago, and I was amazed at how big it is and how much stuff they have for you to do. They have a petting zoo.
Yeah.
And they have like all these different, it's like a Western like village out there. They have a huge like ballroom for weddings and things like that. It's amazing.
It is totally one of these little gems and jewels that if you've never been there, go to Hunsader Farms and just experience it.
Yeah.
And so you just reached out to him and said,
I reached out to Kim and I was like, hi, you don't know me. I am part of Jump Dance Company, which is actually located very close to them. I said, I would love to use your space. I have this vision that I would love to transform your space into. And I told her kind of what I was about and what I wanted to do. And she immediately was like, yes. She was like, let's make this work. And I was so thankful to her because I don't know what I would have done if it hadn't have worked out, because this space is just so perfect.
It is. So I can see it. I can see how great it's going.
Twinkle lights in the trees around you and all the lighting, and
you're gonna feel like you're in a fairy tale.
Yeah, the only thing that we're kind of worried about are the little birds behind us in the petting zoo.
If we have, it can get loud.
They have some talking animals in the middle of the show. There's goats and different donkeys.
You know, it just might make the experience all the more real.
Atmosphere, exactly.
Yeah, that's so neat.
We're excited.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that I really like about this is, since I talk to people in Sarasota and Bradenton, you know, there's a lot of theater companies in Sarasota.
Yes,
a lot of people,
is.
There's startups, there's the professional companies, the community companies. And here in Bradenton, we have the Manatee Players. We have here at the State College of Florida, we do one production in the fall, and then we do scenes in the spring with our class here. But it's just really good to read that there's another musical theater company in Bradenton doing stuff in Bradenton. That's great. I probably shouldn't leave out the Island Players on Anna Marie Island.
Absolutely.
You know, they do stuff as
And I actually went out there the other day. That I had never been there before either. It's a very cool space. But exactly, that was what I was thinking kind of when I expanded the program, not only in Bradenton, but in the Lakewood Ranch area as well, which is kind of included in Bradenton. But until the Players Center goes out there,
that's what I was about to say,
there's really not a presence out there. And not only just Bradenton, but in the entire Sarasota and Bradenton area, there's not enough children's theater, meaning for families to go and see with adults that are performing for the kids, family-friendly productions that are oriented for kids and their families. And so that was a big part of what I wanted to do when I expanded the program, is that I want to do family-friendly productions for people to come out and see, because kids don't get enough exposure to theater nowadays.
Yeah, you're not going to be doing any more mature audience only shows. Your focus is on family friendly shows. I love that.
Maybe in the future, once we've grounded ourselves and everything, but I really want us to be focused on family friendly productions. I would love to develop a program for adults to tour to different schools. I know FST and Oslo have something similar, but nowadays kids don't have enough exposure to theater. So I would love to be able to offer that to kids in Lakewood Ranch and Bradenton.
Great vision and a great goal. I'm excited to watch you live that and bring that to our community. You talked about the beautiful staging area at Hunsader, and there's some bench seats.
Yes.
But if you don't think you're going to be comfortable sitting on a bench because you kind of get hunched over, you are allowing people to bring chairs, lawn chairs.
Absolutely. Okay. And we also, for our VIP tables, we have picnic tables set up for our audience members. It's decent price. It comes with four tickets. We get a bottle of wine, a little fancy, some posters and things like that. Yeah. And that way you have that table to yourself. It's a good option as well for people who are still being very cautious with COVID, because it is a separate space for you and whoever is in your bubble. And being outdoors in general is really awesome, because there are people who still have to be cautious with COVID and immunocompromised people. So being outdoors is great still.
What is the cost of a ticket to come see the show?
Yeah, so tickets are $25, and that's for adults, and then kids are $15.
Okay.
And then we have our VIP tables, which comes with four tickets and some of those extra bonus features, like I mentioned, for $150.
Okay. And how many of those tables do you have?
I can have as many as I want.
Okay, so they will, that section will never sell out.
Never sell out.
That
I can make the entire audience VIP tables if I want.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, Jessica, you've been, you know, a longtime resident, 2013, yeah. you said, mm-hmm. to the Suncoast. And so I have some fun rapid fire questions for you.
Oh, gosh,
as,
okay.
for, as you as a member of our community.
Yeah.
Selby Gardens or the Ringling Mansion?
I have never been to the Ringling.
Oh.
I know. I have wanted to go all the time. My
wait,
family.
Wait.
I've always wanted to go.
Well, I have a vision for you, Jessica. When you go to the Ringling Mansion, you're going to go, I should do a show here.
I already know from the pictures that I've seen, I've had so many dreams. And I'm always thinking of new shows that we can do in different places.
We're doing here right now at the college, The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that'd be a good show to do outdoor at the Ringling, you know, with the mansion and
absolutely.
Stuff. So, okay.
Yeah, so I guess Selby Gardens, my Jump has used to perform there every Christmas during the Lights and Bloom. So.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
there you
go. Lights in Bloom is a really cool thing that Selby Gardens does.
Yeah.
Okay, I think this is an easy one for you.
Okay.
Community theater or professional theater?
Oh, wow. Not an easy one.
Okay.
No.
Foiled again.
Yeah, because they're so different.
They are.
The community theaters around here, you have such a sense of family. Professional theaters around here, while they are incredible, the productions they put on, you know what? I'm going to stick with community because I'm a little mad at professional theater right now because Oslo didn't hold auditions for locals this year. And that is extremely disappointing.
Yeah.
There is so much local talent around here that is not being utilized in the professional theaters that they really need to start kicking that in.
You know what, Jessica, I call it a syndrome. It's called the expert from afar.
Yeah.
That even if you live next door, you certainly don't know as much as a person that is from New York City or in my world of conducting, you know, bring me a European conductor way over a girl from Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I love the Oslo, but I was very frustrated with that when they announced that they were only doing video auditions for understudies. And usually they hold a big mass audition. I understand COVID's an issue, but that would have been nice for the local.
Well, not everybody gets it right every time.
I know. That's why it's fine. But
that's right.
Community theater is my answer.
All right. Here's the next one. This is a Bradenton Lakewood Ranch question.
Okay.
For breakfast,
ooh.
The Sage Biscuit or the Granary?
Oh, I really like Sage. I really like Sage. The Granary's close by to my studio, but I really like Sage.
Those Sage biscuits are amazing.
I know. We had our first production meeting there, so.
Well, let me tell you about my experience at the Granary. I tried to go, and it was like a two-hour wait, and we left.
It's
so
a very small space.
Yeah, I couldn't get in, but I hope to try it someday.
Sage is huge.
Yeah. So, well,
they have two
locations, too, so. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Now here I'm going to ask this question of you with your Mickey Mouse sweatshirt on and your already profession of love for Disney.
Oh, God.
A day at the beach or a day at Disney?
Oh, Disney, 100%. After rehearsal the other day, we got out at 5. One of my cast members and I literally ran up to Disney after the rehearsal to just go watch fireworks.
Wow.
Yeah, we just go up for a couple of hours. I will never turn down a day at Disney.
It's much more expensive than a day at the beach.
You know what? I disagree with you there.
Okay, good for you.
I disagree with you because, well, I mean, theoretically, I have my annual pass.
I was going to say, for me, very expensive.
Yes, it can be. My grandmother pays for my annual pass for my Christmas present every year. So,
can she adopt me? I need a good grandmother like that.
She's great. I love her. But yeah, so I am very fortunate that I don't pay for my annual pass, but I make sure to utilize it as much as possible so she knows that she's getting her money worth.
We go once a year to the food and wine festival at Epcot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we just plan one day.
Yep.
And we eat every single thing is there. And you have to pay for all that. So it gets a little pricey.
It does, yeah.
But, you know, I turn on my Apple Watch and to track my steps.
Oh, yeah.
And one year we walked 11 miles. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I don't feel so bad that I ate and drank all day long.
No, you walk it off.
Yeah,
no, totally. And that's the thing. It's a great workout, too. You get your steps in.
Yeah.
And I just go and people watch sometimes. Like, I will just go and watch people. I won't do any rides or anything like that. I will just go and sit.
That's pretty cool. I have another friend that's like that. He's a Disney freak, with they call him, and he will go over there 100%. For any the drop of the button. Let's go.
Absolutely. Because it immediately makes you happy.
Yeah.
It is so difficult, and I don't know how I see kids cry there, because the second that you walk in there, I don't know how you can't just be happy.
It's your happy place.
Exactly.
For certain. Okay, a manatee or a dolphin?
Dolphin. On a every cruise I go on, I go and swim with dolphins. I love dolphins so
That's
much.
That's so neat. I've never done that.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool to see the manatee though when you're like we go kayaking and stuff and you're like, oh, I mean, no, the dolphin are cool, but you can like hang out with the manatees.
We go to the place up by Ruskin where all the manatees go for the season. Yeah. That's awesome. I really love dolphins. There's a beautiful place in the Bahamas that allows you to like actually like deep sea swim with them and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and they like I love animals. I don't really support like zoos and things like that, but like sure. they push you by like your feet and you get to like go with the dolphins.
Well, so there's always fun. Animal Kingdom at Disney.
I know. They're rescues and things like that. And they rehabilitate, which is really nice. But yeah.
All right, Jessica, by boat or by convertible?
Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a boating girl? You like it? Cruise ships. I heard you
cruise
say
ships,
yeah. I don't know if that counts as a boat, but
yes, they do.
It's on the water.
They do. No, definitely. I don't like to get my hair in a convertible. You can't really tell right now, but I have very, very curly hair. So convertibles are just not my friend.
If you don't have a hat or whatever, your hair is just blown. Yeah, I totally get that.
For Easter, we spent an entire day out on a sailboat, and it was one of my most favorite days of my life.
Nice.
I just laid on the front of the sailboat. It was incredible.
And that's something else. I've never been on a sailboat.
Yeah, it was the first time I did that this year.
Somebody needs to take me on a sailboat.
No, I need to buy a sailboat somehow.
Oh.
I don't know how. I don't have the money for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be hard in the community theater business, Jessica, but I wish you all the best.
I'm in the wrong field. Dreams, little pockets.
Yes.
But yeah.
I call it the sirloin taste on spam budget.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right. Here's your last one. Ask everybody.
Okay.
Roundabouts or stoplights?
Ooh. Roundabouts.
Roundabouts. Yeah? You feel safe in a roundabout?
You know what? I learned to drive in New York.
Well, there you go.
So I had a much harder driving test than down here. And so, roundabouts don't scare me. The red lights down here take forever.
I saw a wreck just this morning in a red light where somebody ran it and turned and boom.
They take forever. So you have more people going through them and stuff like that with a roundabout. At least you keep the traffic going.
And that's the mindset, is that the red lights here, they're twice as long as any place I've ever lived.
Yeah.
And so people want to rush to get through them so you don't have to sit there for so long. And it really causes more accidents. Sure. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Jessica Babcock.
Thank you.
You are now officially part of the club. Now, this production begins on Veterans Day, Thursday, November 11th, and runs through that weekend to Sunday, November 14th. All of the performances are at 7 p.m. And how can we get tickets to this show?
Yeah, so you can go to jumpencore.com or our Facebook page, which is Jump Encore as well. We have Instagram, stuff like that. And there's a direct ticket link for that.
Great. And I have added these productions to our Suncoast Culture Club calendar of events page as well. And people can get their ticket there if they're looking for something to do or show there. But we will put all those links in our show notes,
awesome.
Facebook, the Instagram, the website, so that if anybody's listening to this on the web, they can just click right there through the show notes. Now, I noticed that your website for Jump Encore has two other productions planned, both at the Riverview Performing Arts Center, and both will be to children's musicals, right? Beauty and the Beast and the Addams Family. So fun. They're going to be both in May. But what is next on the docket for the adult productions at Jump Encore? What are you going to stage next?
Oh, gosh. Well, we have lots of ideas going around right now.
Do you kind of need to see how this one goes?
Yes. I definitely know that either in the spring or the summer that we will be doing a 10-person cast production of Annie.
Oh, nice.
All adults.
Okay.
Yeah. Annie will be an adult.
Everyone, an adult Annie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yep, absolutely. So that'll be coming up soon. We just need to solidify that and the dates and things like that, and we have some other shows being thrown around here. So,
well, we look forward to when you're in production and ready to start marketing that. Let me know. We'd love to talk to some of the cast members from Annie.
Absolutely.
That would be really great. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining me today to share this awesome news about your expanding musical theater company in Lakewood Ranch. There are some people in this world that know what it takes to produce a musical from start to finish, and others that just show up and enjoy the end product. But let me tell you, it is a feat. And you are to be commended on the work and effort you've put into this. And choosing Into the Woods as your first show, amazing. And at Hunsader Farms, I'm really looking forward to seeing and hearing more about your upcoming productions. My best wishes and luck to you and Jump Encore.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That can cut like a knife. I must have her to one.
Thanks for listening to the Suncoast Culture Club podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram at Suncoast Culture Club. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That helps a lot. But most importantly, head over to our website, suncoastcultureclub.com. While there, you can send us a message requesting we cover a certain person, organization, or event. And then you can choose the Support tab to make a donation to the State College of Florida Foundation to help support the SCF Arts Education students and programs. You can also choose the Join the Club tab to make a donation directly to the podcast. And don't forget to check out our calendar of events page through the website to see all the arts happenings in Sarasota and Bradenton. Thank you for joining our club. Stay well. This has been Robin Bell.